text this morning as we continue seeking God for the city, seeking God for our church and our community. We're looking at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. We're going to start with the 15th verse. It says, "On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned tables of money. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, 'Is it not written, My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of robbers.' The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, they went out of the city." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we ask right now that you would show us a deeper and better understanding of it. Lord, might we have supernatural understanding of the lesson that you would have for us to take and apply to our lives today. Heavenly Father, we want to do what you would have us to do. We want to follow and be your faithful children. Lord, help us to do so. Now, Lord, I pray for myself this morning as I come to preach that your anointing would be upon me. Lord, I ask that you would speak through me to each person who hears this message. Now, Lord, encourage your people. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord did seem fit to anoint me this morning. I always carry a bottle of anointing oil in my pocket, and it came open this morning. I got one that has one of those medicine bottles with a childproof lid. Obviously, it's not pastor-proof. I came open, and that was my trip out we had earlier. But obviously, I needed the anointing this morning. And the Lord, he will find a way, and he will get that done. We praise God in all circumstances. We need to look for what it is that he's doing in it. I could be saying, "Oh no, I've ruined my pants, I got oil." I'm just saying, no, the Lord is bringing me a blessing, anointing. Now I look at the passage today, or you look at it and you go, "Okay, Pastor," I look at your sermon title and it says, "Seeking Peace for All God's People." And then here you read this text about Jesus coming in and knocking over tables and chasing people out. And, you know, it seems rather violent. Yes, violent. But let's look at where the quotes came from that Jesus had. He had two quotes here. He says, "My house will be called the house of prayer for all nations." He's quoting Isaiah there. In Isaiah 56, starting with verse 1, it says, "This is what the Lord says, maintain justice and do what is right." Just stop right there. Maintain justice and do what is right. This is what Jesus was doing when he was in the temple. We'll come back and we'll revisit it. Okay. "For my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed." Yeah, I added extra syllable on that one. "Blessed is the man who does this, the man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely exclude me from his temple,' and let not any eunuch complain, 'I am a dry tree.'" Foreigners and eunuchs weren't allowed in the temple. Eunuchs were damaged goods. You don't belong here. Foreigners, you're not our people group. You don't belong here. That's not peace, people. Let's continue on for this new word. He says, "For this is what the Lord says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me, and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off, and foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship Him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain. I will give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, He who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. Israel had come to the point where they were pushing everybody out, and they said, the people who belong in the temple, God's salvation, it is for us. The rest of you, don't bother. You're not invited. God's word here is saying, that's not what God said. But that was the way the people had become. And they exhibited this in the way they treated the outer courts of the temple. See, the outer courts of the temple was the only place that a foreigner, someone who was not physically whole, sick or injured, mental, whatever, capacity of any issues, the outer courts was the only place they could come. It was as close as they could come to enter into the temple. Now remember, the temple is supposed to be a reproduction of the Holy of Holies in heaven. And they're setting up this exclusionary wall. And they've taken the part that was open to these people and said, to seek to bring them in, to bring them close to God, the one part where they could go to get close to God, and they had taken it and turned it into a marketplace, into a den of thieves. Now that passage, den of thieves, comes from Jeremiah chapter 7. Let's read verses 1 through 11 there. It says, This is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, orphan, the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place and in the land I gave your forefathers forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which bears my name, and say, we are safe. Safe to all these detestable things. Has this house, which bears my name, become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord. I have been watching. God sees all that we do. He's seen it all. He's seen what's going on in the temple. He saw it. Jesus saw it. And Jesus showed up and He cleared clean house. You know what though? This episode that I read here is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's a different episode listed in John. That happened 3 years earlier. Jesus, early in His ministry, came to the temple and He saw what was going on and He braided a whip and then cleared everybody out. You've turned my Father's house into a den of thieves, den of robbers. You know, He's just, you've turned it into a marketplace. This is not what it's supposed to be. This is where God's people are supposed to come. Those who aren't Jewish, this is as close as they can get. Those who have injury or harm to them, this is as close as they can get at this point. Remember, he has not yet done the work on the cross that tears back the veil and opens up access to the Holy Spirit and brings us closer to God. The temple, the outer courts, they had turned it into a den of thieves. They had turned it into anything but a house of prayer for all nations. And Jesus, well, he wasn't just going to stand by and allow that to happen. He's going to maintain justice and do what is right. If we see something that is unjust, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to address it. If we know what's right and we don't do it, that's doing wrong. As much as going out and committing a wrongful act, knowing what is right and not doing it is just as bad. We see a problem and we don't address it. Jesus saw the problem in the temple and he addressed it. He came in and he cleared it out. And he comes back a couple years later and guess what? The problem had come back. Everybody's doing the same thing. Hey, it's kind of like what John did the last couple weeks. He came in and he said, I want everybody forward, so I'm going to tape up the chairs so you can't sit in those back rows. Guess what? Move the tape. He's gone. He's not here. And guess what? Everybody's all spread out again. I'm not saying you're indulging in sin by having spread out again, but I would prefer to see it close. These front rows are really, these are really the better chairs. They're not sat in as often, so they got more cush. The point is that how often, if you go in and you see a problem and you go to address it, one time really doesn't fix it. You have to stick at it. You have to go after it again and again. No, that's not right. Do it this way. When there's a problem, you can't just say, we're not going to do that anymore, and it goes away. It doesn't work that way. Why? Because we're fallen human people. How many people here have done the same error more than once? I mean, how many of us knew that we were doing the same thing again? It wasn't just an oops. We need to be held accountable. We need to hold each other accountable. That when we see unrighteousness, something which is unjust, we need to act appropriately. It is unjust. It is unrighteous that the church doesn't look more like heaven. Now, we're working on that here at Northbrook. You would have come here 11 years ago, everybody would have had the same skin tone. That's not necessarily the case anymore. As a matter of fact, that's not the case. And that's good. We're not all from the same Scandinavian background. Some of us are even Finns now. We look around the community and what we see is the world. The church is meant to look like that. The temple of God is meant to look like that. The people are supposed to come. That's what Jesus is talking about. My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. So those things which we see which exclude others need to be removed. Now, it's not just those who have different skin tones. I'm going to pick on somebody else here that doesn't even know me, but it's not even all of us who have the same hairstyle. Now, you may know who I'm talking about, and you may not, but I'm talking about Butch. He's balding. See, you thought I was talking about somebody else. For shame. Are we doing things in our church that push somebody out, that won't let them come in because they don't feel comfortable? We're not allowing them to have their place. If we are, we better stop it. And you know what? We've done a good job at getting better at that. But we're not done yet. And it's going to take continuous work. Why? Because we fall back into old habits pretty easy. When I drive to a place that I've gone before, I usually drive in the same lane and I change lanes at the same spot. Why? That's my pattern. We like patterns. We like to do things the same. But some things shouldn't be done the same when it's the wrong thing. So we need to examine how we do church. We need to examine how we live our lives, how we interact with those around us. Are we excluding others from the fellowship of God? Because that's what Jesus was teaching. Now when he was, driving out the buyer, those who were buying and selling, overturning the money changers' tables, knocking over the dove sellers' benches. He was not allowing anybody to carry merchandise through. He's doing this, and this is instruction, as he taught them. Listen to this passage. Maybe I'm saying it wrong, but it says, on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, is it not written? As he taught them. That's the next line. To me, it feels like that what he was doing that was part of his teaching. I think it was an object lesson. I hear John had a great one up here with some toilet paper and a thing. And I've done some in the past. I cooked a steak up here and we've done some, object lessons are great. It drives home the point. And Jesus was the master of it. Trust God for your daily bread. Well, where are you going to get your today's lunch? Well, he gives an object lesson of here's, a couple of fish and a loaf of bread and let's feed 5,000 people. And it works. Well, okay, that was a miracle, but it was a wonderful object lesson. The power of God and in God's provision. And here he has an object lesson. He's saying, this is not righteous. This is wrong. I'm going to do something about it. I'm just not going to walk through the temple courts and go, they really shouldn't do that. This is the only place that these other people can come to worship. And when you're having this loud, business going on, how are people supposed to pray and worship? Oh, that's bad. It's a pretty pathetic response, isn't it? But yet, is that not usually the best some of us can work up? Anybody besides me ever done that kind of thing? Come on, we'll do the hands on that. We need to respond with righteousness. Jesus cleared the temple. What he was doing was working out, was maintaining justice and doing what is right. What's listed as not maintaining justice and not doing right, we have in Jeremiah, verse 5 again, it says, if you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, then it's listed out, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and do not follow other gods. That's all unjust. Now, it's not a total list. It's not all inclusive. It's not everything. But it gives you a direction. Say, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Don't do that. And if you're doing that, stop it. Oppressing the widows, the orphans. Well, that's terrible. Shouldn't do that. No, do something about it. That's what we're called here to do. We need to look at our lives, look at our church, and say, are we doing what it is God has called us to do? And when we do this, when we actually live it out, we actually enter in to God's work. And we allow God's church and our lives to better reflect what heaven is supposed to look like. God's temple is meant to be a house of prayer for all nations. That means it's for every group of people out there. It's supposed to be part of it. Except for those who are in rebellion. And they're not supposed to be in that group. They're supposed to leave that one. So here we are. So we look at our lives. We say, God, what do you want us to do? And he's saying, I want you to love each other. I want you to look around and say, how can I help those around me know God more? Real peace comes from abiding with God. It heals broken relationships. God's house needs to be an earthly reflection of heaven. Our lives need to be a reflection of Christ. These are the actions of Christ, the Prince of Peace. As we seek God and as we know Him more, then we really do have peace, that abiding peace that comes with the indwelling Holy Spirit leading us in everything. Doing the things which God has directed us to do. Not what I've decided is right or wrong, but what God has said is right and wrong. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your house is indeed a house of prayer for all nations. Lord, we ask that you help us to be better reflections of you, that when we see unrighteousness, when we see things that are not according to your will, that we wouldn't be complacent and just shake our head and say that's bad, or even not even acknowledge it. But instead, Lord, might we do what action is needed and necessary to bring about change, so that others will not be excluded from the fellowship of the kingdom, but instead might enter in and participate as you desire. Lord, your promise is that all who seek after you will be welcome, and that all who seek after you will find their place. Lord, might we provide that reflection here on earth too, here in this church at Northbrook, here in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.